This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by DK Eyewitness Travel Guides. These colorful guidebooks are filled with great information and are one of my favorite guidebooks. I have 20 of them here on my bookshelf. Learn more at DK.com. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Amateur Traveler, episode 452. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about mansions and beaches and museums and the history of the DuPonts as we go to the state of Delaware. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. We'll hear more from our sponsor, DK Eyewitness Guides, in a little bit, but first, let's hear about the little state of Delaware. I'd like to welcome to the show Mara Gorman from motherofalltrips.com, the author of the Family Traveler's Handbook, and also, as we mentioned last week, from Passports with Purpose. Mara, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
And Mara has come to talk to us about Delaware. Poor little Delaware sometimes gets left out, but not on the Amateur Traveler.
That's very kind of you. I actually had someone ask me one time if Delaware was a state or if it was just a town in New Jersey.
Or a county in Pennsylvania is the other one I've heard, right.
Yes, and I informed her that no, in fact, it is actually its own state. And it's not even the smallest state.
It's the second smallest. So. And the only state, though, without a national park, last I heard.
Correct. They're working on that. But the fact that it doesn't have a national park doesn't mean that it doesn't have a lot to see, especially on the historical side of things. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what they're working on, creating a sort of a big historical national park.
Excellent. Why should we come to Delaware? What should we see, do, and eat?
You should come to Delaware because it's easy to get to if you're on the East Coast, and it's small, so it's easy to see a lot of it in a relatively short period of time. There's a tremendous amount of history here from the Revolutionary War on. The DuPont family arrived in Delaware in 1800 and basically founded the state. And so people tend to think of the DuPonts as just being the chemical company, but mm-hmm. here in Delaware, they've been big benefactors of everything from they've created museums, they were benefactors of education, they built roads, they built schools. So there's a lot of history there around that family that's actually really very fascinating. We were the first state to ratify the Constitution. Signers of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are buried here, and you can see their graves and visit places where they lived. And we also have really amazing beaches. I think the Delaware beaches are some of the nicest on the East Coast, and they often get overlooked because people go to New Jersey or Maryland.
And when we talk about the beaches, I sometimes hear that whole region, that peninsula. So you're on a peninsula with a little bit of Maryland and a little tiny bit of Virginia.
Right. That's because of the Chesapeake Bay. Mm-hmm. It's called the Delmarva Peninsula. Which is a very rich historic area as well. There have been Native people here, obviously, for quite a while. And then there's a real history of fishing in the Chesapeake. People speak in dialect. Not as much in Delaware, because we're sort of a little away from the bay. But yeah, we do consider mm-hmm. ourselves part of that peninsula. And that does inform sort of the history here and the things that people like to eat, things like oysters and crabs and things that you can catch in more shallow water.
Okay. What would you recommend for a one-week itinerary around Delaware?
You asked that question earlier, and I was thinking about it because I've never thought of it that way since I live here, but actually you could
you've done more of a 17-year itinerary, you're saying.
Exactly.
We may not have that much time.
Right. No, I wouldn't assume that. You could easily do a week here. It could be very fun. And I would recommend splitting it up between upstate and downstate. That's how mm-hmm. it's referred to here. We only have three counties in Delaware. Newcastle County is the northernmost county. It is where the bulk of the population is. It is the part of the county that I-95 cuts through. Fun fact, we only have 12 miles of interstate in Delaware. And our state capital, Dover, is the only state capital in the United States. Well, the only one in the continental United States that is not served by an interstate highway. Hmm. You would start probably in northern Delaware because that would be where you would arrive from elsewhere and see some of the museums. I mentioned the DuPont family earlier. There are three very significant DuPont museums in northern Delaware that you would want to visit. starting at Hagley, which is the place where the DuPonts first settled. It's their original home, and it's where they made their fortune, which they made by manufacturing gunpowder during the War of 1812. Huh. Their gunpowder was cheaper, and the Americans didn't have access to the British gunpowder during that war. There's a museum there, and you can see the gunpowder yard and also the family's original home. And then you can travel to two other DuPont museums that are nearby that are more recent. One of them is called Nemours, and that was founded by built by A.I. DuPont, who started also a children's hospital, which is right, the house is on the grounds of the children's hospital. And that has some really amazing artwork, and the tours there really offer insight into the family and the family's history. And then you can go to Winitar, which is the most significant collection of American decorative arts in the United States, possibly in the world. And that was founded by Henry Francis DuPont, who was an avid collector and horticulturist. The garden there is really amazing as well. So I would recommend starting there, seeing those museums, dining out in Wilmington, which is the biggest city in Delaware. There's some really nice state parks. If you wanted to get outside, you could do a little bit of hiking. Nothing steep because the state's pretty flat, but mm-hmm. very pretty.
Let's do this in a little more detail here, and then we'll do downstate in the second half of the show. So first of all, you sent us driving all over northern Delaware, upstate.
Which is about a 10-mile, not even 5-mile radius.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, the top of Delaware is shaped, it's kind of a funny shape. And the reason that it's that shape is because the original capital was in Newcastle, which is just south of Wilmington. Mm-hmm. Mason and Dixon, they were here. The Mason and Dixon line actually is, in this part of the country, is the Delaware border.
It's the Delaware-Maryland border.
Yes. And Pennsylvania. Where it curves at the top, we kind of have a curve, mm-hmm. like a half circle. Every point on that half circle is 12 miles from the Newcastle Courthouse, which still stands. It's a historic building. That was the line that Mason drew. So everything that I'm talking about right now is within that area. So you could actually, I mean, if you were in a hurry, you could go to all of those museums in the same day, and you would drive maybe 10 minutes between each one, depending on the traffic. So it's very compact.
Yeah, it does have the look of somebody took a protractor and
that, yes,
gave
that's
you a
exactly
border.
What he did. And you can go out hunting around and find markers for the. I actually, near my house, I live in Newark, where the University of Delaware is, which is on the other side. So Newcastle's by the Delaware River. I'm on the other side of the state, closer to Maryland. And you can go out around and poke around and find markers for the Mason-Dixon line.
So you're way at the other side of the state.
Way, 12 miles 12 away. 12 miles away. Everything is 12 miles. That's an important number to remember.
And we should say you are in Newark, N-E-W-A-R-K, not to be confused with Newark, New Jersey, which is spelled the same way.
Correct. That is how we distinguish ourselves, is by saying we are from Newark. And I just mentioned Newcastle, and that's actually another thing that I would recommend people see in northern Delaware. It's the town. I lived there when I first moved to Delaware. It's beautiful. It's kind of like a perfectly preserved, it's about, I don't know, 5 blocks by 7 blocks colonial town.
Right on the Delaware River.
Right on the Delaware River. It's got row houses. It's actually the site of William Penn's first landing in the New World. He actually landed in what is now Delaware first. And there's a statue of him there. And there's a beautiful Episcopal church and a beautiful Presbyterian church. And they're both among the oldest in the country. In the churchyard of the Episcopal church is where you can see some of the graves of the people who signed the Constitution. There are several house museums in Newcastle, including the Reed House, which is one of the finest examples of, I believe it's Georgian architecture, just as fine as anything that you would actually see in Colonial Williamsburg.
So Georgian would be mid-1800s.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's an even older house called the Dutch House, because the Dutch were here, the original settlers. That is dates from the late 17th century. George Washington attended a wedding in Newcastle, so he slept there. Lafayette was there at some point. The courthouse is a museum that you can go in, and it's very, very pretty. It's a very charming place to walk around. When Oprah Winfrey filmed the movie Beloved, they actually filmed part of it in Newcastle. And I was there at the time. They came and they covered up all the modern signage, which there actually isn't a lot of modern signage. I guess there's just more than you would think if you're trying to make it really look colonial. Because it is, they have a lot of rules there. You can't change the outside of your house without permission. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do, you have to get permission. And you have to have wooden shutters and that kind of thing on your house. That would be an afternoon just strolling around there. And there's actually a restaurant in Newcastle called Jessup's that serves sort of traditional colonial food, and which is quite good. And it's things like chicken fricassee and shepherd's pie. And they serve it on pewter plates, which is kind of fun. I don't know how really authentic it is, but it's yummy. And that's right by the river too. And then there's a park that's right on the river with a path that goes for several miles where you can walk. The Delaware River is not in every way the most scenic thing, because there is a fair bit of industry built up, but the park there has a pretty nice, the walk there is pretty nice. You can sort of avert your eyes from some of the more industrial things that are sort of off on the horizon.
This seems like a good time to take a break and talk about our sponsor, which is DK Eyewitness Travel Guides. And we've been talking about these guides for a couple months on the show. I hope you've had a chance to check them out. If you haven't, it would be great if you'd go into your local bookstore, go over to the travel section, and pick up one of the DK Eyewitness Travel Guides. Notice the wonderful illustrations that I've been talking about, especially those cutaway views, which are some of my favorites. We talked about last week the being a cutaway view of the cathedral in Seville, for instance. And then also look at the neighborhood plans, like the one we talked about last week of the Barrio Santa Cruz, again in Seville. I don't happen to have a guide in front of me today because I'm recording this on the road, so I need your help. I need you to be picturing some of this on your own. So go into your bookstore, pick up one of these. Also notice the quality of the paper. That's one of the things I've always enjoyed about them, and the quality of the illustrations. Again, especially if you are visually oriented like I am, I find that if I just leaf through the book, I can spot places that I may not have known about, but that draw my eye. And that's tough to do if a guidebook is all just words, but the words are good as well in the DK guides. So check out DK Eyewitness Travel Guides at DK.com. Now, here's an odd question, and I don't know the answer to it. We generally in the U.S. consider the South, traditionally, historically, to be south of the Mason-Dixon line. You are to the right. You are east of the Mason-Dixon line because it takes this left turn. So I have not traditionally put Delaware in the South, even though Maryland, clearly just to the left of it, is in the South.
Yeah, and I think that's an accurate thing to say. I feel like Delaware doesn't really know where it lies as far as those things. I think it's a little independent-minded in its own way. It's a funny place in that way. Downstate feels much more southern,
sure,
I will say. And they actually call it Lower Slower Delaware. That's the name for it here. I mean, everybody lives in Delaware. There is a little bit of an identity crisis here as to where exactly Delaware fits into the bigger picture. And I do think it tends to feel a little provincial sometimes. It doesn't know if it goes with Philly. It doesn't know if it goes with Baltimore. And people sort of drive through it very quickly and don't really know what it's all about. And I think you definitely get that feeling if you live here. Like, I don't really know. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the South. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the North. I don't really know.
Well, and partially because you're pretty centrally located. I just ran into Mara in D.C. You had driven down for a meetup, a travel meetup. And I'm, what are you doing here? It's like, it's just not that far. Well, Philly's not that far. New York City really isn't all that far. You're kind of in the middle of things.
That's very true, actually. And that's, I mean, to return to the initial question of like why you should come here, it's very easy to get to if you're anywhere on the East Coast. We're right on the corridor, and it's just not that far. So Washington, D.C., you can be in downtown Washington, D.C. in an hour and 45 minutes, again, depending on the traffic.
Well, you could also even take the train there. You're on the Amtrak
corridor. You can take the train. We're right on the Amtrak. Yeah. And Philadelphia is about a 45-minute drive. It can be even less, depending on how fast you drive. And then New York is 2 hours away. And we are on the train line. I mean, the train is a little expensive, so I don't... Right now, they're kind of working on the commuter lines, improving them, and especially the connection to the Maryland commuter line, which is called the MARC, getting stops here. We do have some stops here for SEPTA, which is the commuter line for Philadelphia. And there aren't a lot of trains, but you can definitely do it affordably. Amtrak can be a little bit expensive, like kind of ridiculously so, but it is easy also to drive, truly. you just get on 95 and go where you want to go.
Okay. Anything else, other sites we should see while we're in upstate?
One thing that I like that I think a lot of people don't know about is the Delaware Nature Society, which was started by some prescient individuals in the late 60s. And they have several different locations upstate. They have one called the Ashland Nature Center, which has some really lovely walking trails and a lot of information in their visitor center about the sort of native plants and animals, if you're interested in that, which can be something that you overlook in northern Delaware because it's kind of suburban. And then they also have a farm, a working farm that is nearby called Coverdale Farm, which is beautiful. And when it's open, you can go and see the animals. They offer classes and workshops and activities, and you can be a member and do those activities. But if you go to their website, you could also do it. If you're not a member, you just pay a little more. Mm-hmm. So if you were planning a trip, you could look ahead and see what they had going on and see if there was anything you were interested in. Their naturalists are wonderful. They lead really great tours. And they also have in downtown Wilmington an environmental center now. That is in this marsh that, I mean, it just is out there in the middle of a, like it's wetlands that they've finally figured out they really shouldn't develop anymore because it's bad for everybody if the wetlands get overdeveloped because right, everything floods. And so there, that's a really fascinating place too, because you can go and see sort of this natural environment in the middle of an urban environment. And they recently just discovered that they have otters there. And that's not very big. It wouldn't take a lot of time, but it's pretty centrally located. It's about 5 minutes from the interstate. So it would be easy to fit that into your day if you were, especially if you were staying in Wilmington or around that area. And then the other thing is there's for people who have kids, Delaware has an excellent children's museum, which is nearby to that urban environmental center that I mm-hmm. mentioned. I really like the Delaware Children's Museum. It's gets overlooked because Philadelphia has a really has a Police Touch Museum, which is pretty well known and is bigger. But the one in Delaware is really very nice. And what's part of what's nice about it is that it's designed to appeal even to kids as old as 11 or 12. So if you've got kids who are like, if you've got a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, you could go there and they would both have things to do okay. and would enjoy it. And that's also like 5 minutes off the interstate. And right by where that is, you have the Delaware Center for the Contemporary Arts, which is this small, it's not a museum, it's like a gallery that shows different local contemporary artists. And they also will run free children's programs on the weekends. So if you do a little planning and look at these places online, you could find the different programs that are going on and do some of that kind of stuff, which I think a tourist wouldn't necessarily think to do. But they're all, every program I've ever done at any of the places that I mentioned, I found to be completely worthwhile. And I've done them alone and I've done them with my kids.
Excellent. Well, is it time to head downstate then?
I think so. I guess the one thing I feel like I should mention is in Wilmington, there's a lot of revitalization going on in Wilmington. And Wilmington just recently got some very bad press. It was in USA Today as being, it was listed as like Murder Town USA or something.
Oh.
It's got one of the highest homicide rates for cities of its size. It's not a big city. And don't ask me the population because I'm always bad about that kind of thing and I don't know. But it's a smaller city. But it does have a high homicide rate. But the fact is, where that is happening is not neighborhoods that you're going to visit or necessarily end up in. And Joe Biden will talk all the time about how he's from Wilmington. I mean, he's from a very nice area that's right outside of Wilmington. But he'll say he's from Wilmington if you ask him. And really, everything is really small in Delaware. And yes, all that stuff that's sort of unsafe is close to the stuff that's not. But you don't really see it when you're in the areas that are safe. And so the main area of Wilmington, they're really working to revitalize and to get people to spend time in. There are a couple of theaters there that show all different kinds of performances. The Hotel DuPont, which is a famous hotel, has a long-running theater that shows touring Broadway shows. And you can also go to the Grand and the Baby Grand, which tend to show like stand-up comedians and musical concerts. And then down the street is the Queen, which is, Philadelphia has a big independent radio station called WXPN. And they showcase all independent music. They're at the University of Pennsylvania. The Queen is their outpost in Wilmington. So you'll get a lot of really good independent music playing there. I've seen Amy Mann there. It's a great place to see a show. And right across the street is a restaurant called La Fia, which is one of the best restaurants I've ever eaten in anywhere. It's just really a hidden little gem. Everybody in Delaware knows about it. It's a place that people should come from out of the state to eat at. And I'm not sure that they do, but they should.
And what is the type of restaurant?
It's farm to table, just very inventive.
Okay.
The chef owner used to run a place called Tallulah's Table, which is actually in Pennsylvania, and at one time was named the best, I think was named the best restaurant in the United States, or one of. It's a place that it takes a year to get into. And the husband and wife that ran that place split up, and he came to Wilmington and opened La Fia. And they have a bakery there. Like, they make all their own bread. The interior is beautiful. It's all sort of unfinished wood and, like, very bright, very well lit, the big windows. The food there is just dreamy. I had the best mushroom soup the last time I was there, and mushrooms are indigenous to this area. It was so incredibly delicious, and it was as good as anything I've ever had in New York or Philadelphia or Washington, D.C., for sure.
And by the way, the population of Wilmington is a little over 70,000. So
thank
that
you.
Is
I would have gotten it totally wrong. I would have been like 200. Yeah. Regardless of what you read in USA Today, it's a very safe place to visit. I take my kids there all the time.
And I'm just looking, by comparison, if it were in California, it would not be in one of the 100 biggest cities in the state.
Right. And it is the biggest city in
right.
Delaware.
Interesting. Yeah. And I say one of the 100 biggest because I only had a list of 100 and it was smaller than that. So
Delaware is not big. You feel that here, which mm-hmm. is kind of a nice thing.
Well, do we need to talk slower as we head to lower, slower Delaware?
Well, yeah. I mean, people down there probably do talk slower.
So it's we're talking about a more rural section of Delaware.
Correct. It is more rural. It's largely farms. Mm-hmm. Dover, which is the capital, is a pretty sleepy place. It is served by Route 1, not by I-95. That's mm-hmm. how you get there, as you drive down Route 1. It's got some really interesting historical stuff there. The sort of entire area around the State House is this green that has historic buildings and little museums. And the first Saturday of every month, the state runs programs there. They're themed. So, like, I think usually in February, which is Black History Month, the theme will be the Underground Railroad, which ran through Delaware. And they'll have people there who are reenactors, and they'll have educators there who will lead tours, who can tell you things, and it's all free. There's also a Museum of American Art there, which has a very nice, if not large, collection called the Biggs Museum. And just outside of the main part of the city is the Dickinson Plantation. And John Dickinson is a very interesting character because he was actually opposed to American independence, but was a signer of the Constitution. And he doesn't get remembered because of some of his stances. Like, he changed his mind, but he was actually very significant during the Revolutionary War. And you can go to his house and tour it. And they're doing a lot of work on him right now. I think he's someone who eventually is going to be sort of, his reputation is going to be revived, and people are going to be talking about him. And that's a place that you can visit. And of course, the other thing that's in Dover is Dover Speedway, which is where the NASCAR races are twice a year.
Okay.
So if you want to avoid being there during NASCAR, it would behoove you to look at the NASCAR schedule and not come. I think one time is in May, and the other one I think is sometime in the fall, maybe September. But a lot of people come to Dover when that is going on, and you probably want to avoid it at those times, unless NASCAR is your thing, in which case you should come, because I think it's easier to get into than some of the other venues.
Okay.
Although I don't actually know that, but I know people who go, and they seem to always be able to get tickets and go, so it's definitely possible.
And for those who are outside the U.S., so NASCAR would be auto racing, obviously, and right. in particular tends to be stock cars, I want to say.
Yes.
So cars that you could buy, you just wouldn't drive them this way without getting a ticket.
Right. The drivers become like celebrities, and then they have pit crews, and the pit crews come out and change all the tires really quickly. And if you like stuff that goes fast, it's probably pretty exciting to watch.
Right. Well, and it is a very, very popular sport in the U.S.
It is.
Although not apparently with either you or I.
So. Yes. I know that the weekends when they have the races, mm-hmm. they're literally the population of Dover quadruples or something. It's thousands of people who come to watch.
Excellent. Yeah. No, I grew up outside of Laguna Seca in California, which is a Formula One racetrack. And again, I've never been there either. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just depends on what you're interested in, right?
Right.
And I just don't have a big interest in cars, so. But yeah, and that, so Dover is a place, you know, if you were doing this itinerary and you were going to come for a week, I mean, I would say you'd probably want to spend 3 days in northern Delaware. And you could stop in Dover. Dover's on your way down to where the beaches are, which is what you would be going down to do in southern Delaware. And so you could stop there easily. So from Wilmington, it takes, I don't know, an hour and a half, maybe, not even, to get to Dover. You could stop there, poke around, look at some of the museums, and have lunch, and then just keep going. So, like, if you're just talking about the size, again, to reinforce that the Delaware is small, you could be in Wilmington and go to Dover and then make it down to the beach, and it would all happen in the same day, in half a day. We're like the opposite of California.
Exactly. Yeah, well, it takes a little while to drive from one end of the state to the other here.
Right.
So, and you mentioned the beach. Do you have a favorite beach in Delaware?
So the beach towns in Delaware kind of go in a line, which is right how the beach towns tend to be along the coast. Mm-hmm. So the northernmost one is Lewis, which is spelled L-E-W-E-S, but is pronounced Lewis, not Lewes. Lewis is the most historic one in terms of having like kind of 19th century history, 18th century history. Mm-hmm. Again, it's where the Swedish settled first. And the Dutch. So that's a lovely little town. And I love the town beach in Lewis because it's on the bay. And when you have little kids, that's a really great beach because there's not big waves because it's further up in the Delaware Bay.
Okay.
Then the further south you go, the more you're out kind of on the open Atlantic. And Lewis also has a really lovely state park called Cape Henlopen State Park, which has a beautiful beach. And a tip that I would give to people who are coming is to look at, if you're going to be in Delaware and be at the beaches for more than like 4 or 5 days, buy a state park pass if you're there between March and November, because it's actually cheaper. You'll pay less for parking and for use of the park, state park, if you do it that way than if you pay each day that you go.
And you mentioned if we're going to be there, then when is the best time you think to come to Delaware?
I think that the best time to come to Delaware is May and October would be my two favorite times to come.
Okay.
The summer is pretty hot and the beaches are pretty crowded, just like they are everywhere, right? But I have done some really nice trips to the beach area in particular for Memorial Day weekend, which is kind of before the season starts. So you can go. I've even done where we've stayed the whole week. So we started with Memorial Day weekend and stayed through maybe that sort of first week of June. And it's not crowded yet, and the weather tends to be less hot and humid and very nice. The water, of course, is colder than. The Atlantic is cold in May.
Right.
In the fall, the water is warm. The Atlantic often is warmer in September than it is in June and July and August. Mm-hmm. The beach area in Delaware in the fall is lovely. The weather is really mild. It's not as crowded. The water is warmer, so if you get a warm day in terms of the air temperature, which is likely to happen in September and October. You could even go swimming still. Those are my two favorite times. It tends to be a little bit drier, especially in October, because the humidity here can be pretty bad in the summer.
And when you say crowded, what is the definition of crowded at a Delaware beach? Is it as crowded as the Jersey Shore or?
No, it's not. I mean, I would say categorically it's not, and that is an argument for making that your beach destination in the summer. It is less crowded than New Jersey for sure. But at the same time, because it's smaller, there's basically one road to get there from each direction. And so like the traffic can be bad. I mean, I feel like you can game it though. If you just don't want to be driving down there on a Friday,
afternoon. Yeah. Okay.
And you don't want to be leaving on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
If you drive down there on Friday morning or on Thursday night and leave on Monday morning, then you won't even hit a lot of traffic. And the beaches themselves won't be as crowded as they are some of the other places on the East Coast. I mean, holiday weekends, like I'm sure 4th of July weekend is really, really crowded. I mean, I never go down there then because I live here, so why would I? There are a bunch of different beaches. I mean, I mentioned Lewis. Then just south of Lewis is Rehoboth Beach, which has a boardwalk, a big boardwalk, and also has sort of a real town. It's a very different type of town than Lewis. It's much more of a sort of, it feels like a 1940s or 50s resort town. That's what architecture looks like. And it's bigger much bigger. So there's a lot more shops and restaurants. And that's where people who come to the Delaware beaches from Washington, D.C. tend to go. And then continuing down from there, you would hit Bethany Beach, which is sort of another sort of smaller community. I've never actually stayed in Bethany, although people have told me that's also a really nice place to stay with families. And then further down from there is Dewey, which is known as the one where all the college kids go. That's where they go and they work.
Got it. Okay.
And hang out. And that's where the party bars are. There's another state park down in the Bethany Dewey area, which also has really beautiful and big beaches where you're not paying a lot to park, particularly if you get a state park sticker, then it's free. And they have things like changing facilities and showers, and you can also get a fishing license and go fishing and lots of different things that you can do. So it's a little spread out, which is kind of nice. And I do think that that alleviates the crowds. People have different beaches that they like and they tend to go to those. And it's a very mellow scene in Delaware for the most part, I would say.
Well, and one thing we should say, while you're there, you're also close to just over the border into Maryland and into Virginia is also Chincoteague and Assateague Islands. They're actually more accessible from here than they would be if you were in the mainland of Virginia or of Maryland. Those are the islands best known for the wild horses, we'd have to say, but national wildlife refuges. So fairly close to Bethany Beach, which you were describing right now.
That's right. And Chincoteague is one of my favorite places in the world. I mean, I would definitely recommend going there. Read Misty of Chincoteague, whether you're an adult. If you have kids, read it to your kids, because the town is still totally like that book, which is kind of crazy. And you can meet people there who, if they didn't know the author of the book, they knew, like, when they made, we had a guy give us a boat tour there who, his father was an extra in the movie when they filmed the movie. Yeah, and you can see the wild horses, and there's this beautiful National Wildlife Refuge. It's really, really gorgeous. And the drive from the beaches in Delaware over to Chincoteague is probably, I don't know, 45 minutes. So right. You could stay in the Delaware, where there are actually more hotels. Chincoteague, part of why it is nice, actually, is there's not a lot of places to stay because they've preserved it and drive over there and see it and go back.
Well, I guess that begs the question of, while we're in especially southern Delaware, we are close to the rest of Delmarva, this peninsula. Are there other spots that you would recommend we see as long as we're down here?
That's a good question. I mean, Chincoteague and Assateague would have been the two that I would really mention.
Okay.
I know there's a place that I've never been. I think it's called Smith Island. And it's a place in the bay where they still speak the original Elizabethan dialect. Like, it's this really unique way of talking that they only talk that way there. It's one of the few places that's like on my list in this area that I haven't made it to yet. And there's some foods, like there's a cake that they make there that's really delicious that you can only get there pretty much. There's a bakery that makes it, I think it's called Smith Island Cake. It's a layer cake. And that's a place that's fascinating to me. In terms of, like, if you get away from the beach towns, just north of the beaches in Delaware is Milford, which is where the Dogfish Brewery is.
Mm-hmm.
And Dogfish Head Beer is, of course, one of the best beers. Like, the guy, Sam Caglioni, it's an Italian last name, he was one of the first, this advent of the new beer scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all the microbrews, he was one of the founders of that. And Dogfish Head was one of the first breweries that was like that. And you can go and visit the brewery. And they now have a hotel in Lewis, and they have a restaurant in Rehoboth. You can do like kind of a little beer and food tour. And people do, actually. The beer tourism, because breweries have just been popping up all over Delaware. And the state has actually created a beer and spirits trail where you can go on the state tourism website and like print off a thing that tells you all the different breweries to go to. And that's up and down the state. So you can do it at the beach and up in Newcastle County as well.
Excellent. Before we leave downstate and start talking about just some general questions, anything else we should see downstate?
So in Lewis, again, on the historical side of things, they have a couple of really interesting little museums there. So if you have a rainy day or a time when you just are tired of being at the beach, there's a whole little village area, a market green, where they have a really wonderful farmer's market on Saturday mornings that I highly recommend visiting. And all around there are these sort of little historic buildings. And some of them, I think, were there originally, and others are ones that they brought there. and sort of like on like a very small version of sort of a Sturbridge Village or something like that from Massachusetts.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Where you can see, and there's like a doctor's office and a post office and that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. And then in the state park that I mentioned, that's in Lewis, Cape Henlopen State Park, that was one of the lines of defense for the United States during World War II. And the park is actually built on what was an army base. And the last time I was there with my family, we did a tour where there's this huge underground, maybe one of the biggest bunkers that the army ever built. And you can go in this huge bunker and see these big guns that they basically had pointed at the bay because they were trying to make sure that the U-boats didn't come up the bay and up to Philadelphia, which would have been disastrous. So there's this whole sort of military history there. And there's actually parts of the park where they don't let you go because of mines. I think they've gotten a lot of the mines out of there, but not necessarily all of them. So a word of warning would be that if you see a sign not to go somewhere in that park, it's advisable
to
listen to it.
Follow
not do
the
it
rules.
Because they actually are landmines in there still. Again, that would be something where if you looked at the park website before your trip, you could see what programs they were running. And they seem to do it pretty regularly in the summer, especially on the holiday weekends. And you could have just a really interesting tour for basically for free.
Excellent. You mentioned holidays. Any particular day of the year that Delaware is the place to be?
There is a day that I would recommend going to Delaware, and I actually wrote about it earlier this year for MapQuest, and it is called Separation Day. It's only celebrated in Delaware, and it's the second Saturday in June.
And this isn't for couples who are getting separated.
It is not.
Okay.
It is a celebration of Delaware separating from Pennsylvania, because originally Delaware was
a county in Pennsylvania.
The three lower counties of Pennsylvania was what was Delaware. And on Separation Day in Newcastle, they celebrate it by having this sort of big townwide party. And I mean, it's just, it's a piece of Americana to go to this party, because the Newcastle Sailing Club has races, so you can watch the sailboats race. There's an antique car show. There's a beautiful baby contest. Maybe like the last of such a thing that's left in the United States. And with an MC who talks about, oh, isn't she beautiful? Look at those cheeks. I mean, it's really funny.
No swimsuit competition in the beautiful baby contest.
I mean, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just this big sort of festive time, and they everybody's out on the Battery, on the park there, on the river. And that's a nice time of year to be here anyway. The weather tends to be good. So I definitely recommend that to people. I think that's a unique, it's very unique to Delaware. It's something that you wouldn't experience anywhere else.
Excellent. What's going to surprise me about Delaware?
Well, I think probably the size. I think people will be are often surprised by how close things are together, by how much there is here in such a small space. I do particularly feel like the story of the DuPonts is very surprising to people. Like, they don't realize, you hear the name DuPont and you just think about this chemical company, but they've been incredibly important in American history. And if you're interested in Revolutionary era history, like immediately after the Revolutionary War and early American history, they're really significant. And you can learn so much about that here in a very short period of time just by going to these really amazing museums. And Winterthur in particular is a very surprising museum, because it is a major collection that just doesn't get talked about.
I'd have to admit I'd never heard of it.
Yes, it's huge. It's the museum has 175 rooms full of American decorative arts. And you don't see all of them, obviously. You do guided tours. They had an exhibit of costumes from Downton Abbey, which has been tremendously popular. So people may have heard of it because those costumes were there. They actually tripled their attendance this past year with that exhibit.
Oh, interesting.
But the museum itself and the gardens are one of the best examples of this sort of style of garden that it is anywhere in the world. It's like a natural type of, it's a garden that's sort of studied natural garden, where it looks
like
it's
not an English style garden, for instance,
just,
that's
yeah,
very
it looks
boxy.
Like it just it looks like it just happened, but it didn't. It's all very by design. And that was all Henry Francis DuPont. And then all of the stuff in the museum is just so beautiful. It's all 18th and 19th century American stuff. And that's the thing that's interesting, because it's from America. It's all made in America. Or was not, if not made in America, made in England, but it was this, it was used in America. You don't see that a lot of places, where there's a museum that's so dedicated purely to American stuff of that era. And it's beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. So I think that surprises people because they just have no idea that it's there.
Excellent.
And it's actually a pretty important museum.
Before I get to my last four questions, anything else we need to know before we pack our bags and head to Delaware?
You should be prepared for some of the traffic. There are a lot of people in a fairly small area here, so just be aware, and people can drive a little aggressively. I know New Jersey has the reputation for being the place where people drive aggressively because nobody knows about Delaware, but they actually do it here too quite a bit. So, I mean, I definitely would say that. And I would say bring rain gear as well. It can be particularly like in early spring or late fall, it can be pretty rainy. We actually just went through a very long stretch where it was gray and rainy for quite a while. It's nice out today. But it's a very temperate climate here. Although we do, the other thing to be aware of is that we do get snow, not consistently, but if you're coming in the winter, that is something that can happen here. I don't know if people are aware of that. We do get the nor'easters that come up. We get the coastal storms.
Oh, okay.
So we can get quite a bit of snow in a short period of time. So you should just check the weather before you come. But if you come in the late spring or in the fall, really you can count on having pretty nice weather.
Excellent. Last four questions. You're standing in the prettiest spot in all of Delaware. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think you're standing in the middle of Old Newcastle and you're looking at the spire of Emmanuel Episcopal Church on the Green, which I will say, admit I'm a little biased because it is my church, but it is just this beautiful, serene place. People, it's beautifully planted. There are willow trees and there's this white spire and this big green that stretches out in front of it. And it looks the same as it did 200 years ago. Hmm. There are very few places that you can say that of in the United States.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Delaware.
Well, it's the accent. Delaware has its own accent.
I don't know what a Delaware accent sounds
like. Yes, most people don't. So the way you know if someone's from Delaware, and I don't know if I can do it justice because I'm not from Delaware, but I have lived here a while, is how they say the word water. Which is how I would say it. It's probably how you would say it, water. Yeah. If someone's from Delaware, they say water.
Okay.
Like W-O-R-T-E-R, water. And my kids are starting to, who are both born here, my two sons are Delawareans. My older son is 12, and he is just a little bit of that accent. So we'll see.
Finish the sentence. You really know you're in Delaware when what?
I think you really know you're in Delaware when the landscape changes quickly on you. Because when you go from sort of these rolling hills that are in the northern part of the state, and then all of a sudden you're in this very urban landscape and there's all this industry. But then in 15 minutes, you're driving and you're on the campus of the University of Delaware, which looks like it could be in Charlottesville, Virginia. And then another 15 minutes south, and you're in farm fields. It's like a place where everything is compressed and it's all sort of close together and it changes very quickly.
Excellent.
There's a lot here. That's what I would say. People don't realize how much is here in such a small space.
And if you had to summarize Delaware in just three words, what three words would you use?
Thomas Jefferson's name for Delaware, which I've always loved, is a small wonder.
Well, see, there you go. You managed to do it in two words.
But I didn't come up with it. Thomas Jefferson did. But I actually think that's a good description.
Excellent.
Of the state. I mean, small would definitely be in there. Mm-hmm. Small but significant also would be, I guess, if you want me to use three words. I would say small but significant. It's played a big role in American history in a lot of different ways, kind of quietly without people realizing it.
Our guest again has been Mara Gorman. Mara, where can people read more about your travels?
They can read about my travels at the Mother of All Trips, which is motherofalltrips.com. And I also wrote a book called The Family Traveler's Handbook. There's information on my website about where to get it, but you can also just look it up on Amazon because it is certainly there.
Excellent. I think we have done a review of it on Amateur Traveler as well, but we've done a review of a lot of the books in that series. I honestly don't remember if we've done that one or not. If not, we probably will. So,
great.
Mara, thanks for coming on the show and telling us of your love for Delaware.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
I'm going to throw in a second sponsor spot here at the end, but that's for my project. That's for bloggerbridge.com. If you happen to be working for a company that's interested in working with influencers, that's bloggers, writers, podcasters, photographers, content creators in general, and you're not sure how to get started with that, we've just announced a new feature for BloggerBridge, which is BloggerBridge Lite. And BloggerBridge Lite is particularly targeted at location-based companies. I think of small DMOs or tourism boards, hotels, restaurants, tour groups, spas, that sort of thing. And with the Lite version, which is only $200 a year, you can both get notification when bloggers or other content creators are coming to your city, which gives you the chance to reach out to them. And you can also publish one opportunity at a time. That maybe will put you up for a free night in exchange for a blog post or something along those lines, like a museum pass for your city. So if you work for any company that's interested with working with bloggers and you have opportunities for them, including paid opportunities, go to bloggerbridge.com and check out the Lite version. There's a recording of a webinar we did last week about all the features. With that, we're going to end this episode of the Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. The transcript of this episode will go up in about a month and is sponsored by J-Way Travel, your guide to Eastern European travel. Don't forget to check out our main sponsor, who is DK Eyewitness Guides. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris2X, and as always, thanks so much for listening.